Hello, my name is Stacia Williams.
And this is Edwin Williams. And we'd love for you to be able to check out Carradine Estate in St. Helena in Napa Valley. You can also check us out on the web, carradineestate.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Boy, we are totally getting on the ground floor of a brand new winery that is in the process of a lot of construction. Some parts are opened, some parts are in the opening, and this is Carradine Estate. And Carradine Estate is in Napa Valley. And joining us today on Wine and Dine are the owners, the founders, and they're like chickens with their heads cut off right now because they're so. It's like they're almost like, for those of you listening, if you've ever been involved with a restaurant before it opens, that's kind of where they're at. And so we have Stacia and Edwin Williams, who are the founders, and we thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
So I want to start with a little bit of background, if you don't mind. So, Stacia, you come from the East Coast, from Boston, and your background is software industry. And Edwin, what is your background?
My background is aerospace engineering. I went to school for that, and then I worked many years in that industry.
How did you two meet?
We met through a mutual friend, and the first night that we met, we were talking about wine. I had taken a wine appreciation course in college, and I fell in love with the concept of thinking about what you're eating and drinking the entire time. And so when we first met, we were talking about wine the whole night, and the group of us went back to her place, and she was making wine in her basement. And she showed us this wine, and she's like, "I don't really know what I'm doing. I've never done it." And I just looked at her, and she goes, "I wish the texts were better, and I don't understand what I'm reading." And I said, "Well, you know, they have schools for that." And being from the East Coast, there wasn't a whole lot of schools for that, and I'm from the West Coast, and that blew her mind. I think that was the seed right then and there that started this whole thing.
Definitely was.
So Edwin, you're from the West Coast. Are you from California?
Yes, I am. I'm from Fresno, California, originally.
Okay. And so that's how, Stacia, you ended up taking classes at Enology and Viticulture Program at Fresno State?
Yes, I did. When our daughter was born in 2006, we relocated the family to Fresno, and I started very slowly back to school taking classes at Fresno State.
What does that feel like to be, or what did that feel like to be, you already had your college degree, you already had a career, and then going back to school? What did that feel like as a non-traditional student?
Well, I was called Mom a lot. if anyone needed Advil or a Band-Aid, I always had it. It felt good because I was able to really focus. You know, I graduated with 4.0, which I don't think I could have done, you know, when I was younger.
Yes.
But I took it very seriously, and I took every opportunity I had to learn.
Wow. And why, I'm dying to know so many questions about that first wine in the basement. Were you using Concord grapes, or what kind of grapes? Was it a concentrate, or do you actually have grapes?
Well, I worked through a local beer wine hobby shop, and okay. My friend was going in to get beer brewing equipment. And I went in, and it was just before harvest, probably around September sometime. And the hobby shop was actually shipping in frozen grapes from California.
Okay.
So you go in and you buy, you know, however many pounds it was. I think it was about 100 pounds to make a 5-gallon finished carboy of wine. And it was Merlot that I got. And I can't remember what AVA they came from. I want to say Sonoma. But
recollection was Sonoma.
Yeah.
But was it worth drinking when you were done, or was it not worth putting a fire out with?
You know, it wasn't bad. I just was too afraid to drink it. I you know, when you clean winemaking tools and when you're making wine to keep it stable, you add potassium metabisulfite, and I was nervous I had added too much. I swore I could smell the sulfur in the wine, and I didn't want to give anyone a headache or make anyone sick. So ultimately, it did get dumped down the drain.
when you were growing up, Stacia, when you were growing up, did your family consume wine? Was that, where did this interest come from? Or were you doing a lot of experimenting with like bread making or cooking in the kitchen? Why all of a sudden did you want to do that?
No, my family is not really into wine. You know, my parents might have Assis Fumanti at Thanksgiving, or
okay.
My mom would have White Zinfandel occasionally. It wasn't something my parents, neither one of them are big drinkers. I had an uncle from Italy, and then I also had a friend from Italy, and they both had a lot of great wines. And then I got into college and graduated in the software industry, and that was something that you would do. You know, you would go and have a glass of wine with your friends, and so I started becoming a little obsessed about it. Where do I find the best wine? How do I figure out what is good wine? So I started attending a lot of wine tastings at they would be at the liquor stores.
Yes.
And just trying to learn more about it.
And so, Edwin, are you involved with the winemaking at Cardin Estate, or is your wife doing that?
I'm involved. Definitely not the same extent that Stacia is by any stretch of the imagination, but I help maintain the vineyards. I look over the vineyard operations. And you know, I'm more than happy to pull hoses and run pumps and clean filters and sort berries and the whole nine yards. I know the process by osmosis, but I don't have the knowledge that she has by any stretch of the imagination.
Is there any parallel, or do you bring any of all that information you have from aerospace engineering into, or were you involved with even the engineering design of the winery that you're building right now?
I'm not involved with the design so much, but I look over all the plans that are presented to us and make sure that those actually make sense. They're done the right way. So as far as engineering part of it goes, I'm not really doing much of that. But a lot of the skills that I learned as an engineer and worked on as an engineer definitely take I use them in this project a lot because of the planning, the overseeing, the financial modeling, all those parts. I kind of go into it and making sure the system of systems is working and optimized. So that's kind of where I bring my engineering expertise to the table of what we're doing right now.
Edwin, do you work in aerospace engineering at all, or are you 100% at the winery?
I am 100% in Cardin Estate.
Wow.
I was going to say 200%.
Yeah, I would say more than that. Yeah, I always joke with people who come to us and say, you know, with the scope of what we're doing here, they're always like, so do you get much sleep? I said, yeah, I get about eight hours of sleep. 30 hours in a day, I get 8 hours of sleep. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
And one more question about past careers. I'm interested. Stacia, are in software industry, were you a programmer?
Well, I did graduate with a computer science degree from Worcester Polytech in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I went on to work for Sun Microsystems. My first job there was as an instructor. So I instructed Java, mostly Java programming. I did some Unix system administration and Unix network administration, but Java programming was pretty much my specialty.
So the two of you are very much linear thinkers and real left brain dominant, I would think. And so are you taking that approach then to this timeline of putting this all together? And actually, why don't you give us the timeline as we were discussing before we started recording of all the things that are going on at Cardin and when they're opening or already have opened?
Sure. And so I would agree with you. I am a very linear thinker, very logical. I have to go stepwise through problems, and if nothing adds up, I start over at the top. Ed, being an engineer, he can jump to a semi-solution and work backwards and fill stuff in.
Okay.
So, engineering intuition.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay, so our timeline, we've had our own timelines, but our timelines are not always entirely up to us. Anytime you do a project of this magnitude, you encounter something or other that slows you down, and it can be days, it can be weeks, it can be months. So our timeline currently for the winery is to get the crush pad open for this harvest. most of our grapes are undergoing veraison right now, or have just barely undergone veraison, which means we're, you know, month and a half at best away from our first harvest, which is kind of scary. Our tasting room, so we purchased this complex of structures that existed already, five buildings, about 22 to 23,000 square feet, and we went about remodeling each of the buildings to become our own business. I wanted people to be able to step onto the estate and have the full Caradine experience, which is the reason that we decided to remodel and put our businesses into the structures. So the first building that opened on April 12th of this year, and it is our tasting room, which is open to the public every day. It is on commercially zoned land, so we're able to stay open late. We stay open till 8 p.m. every night. So then we opened that, the tasting room, and that was about 2,500 square feet of the whole project.
Wow.
We went on to open the restaurant, which is roughly 4,000 square feet of the whole project. It's a British-inspired gastropub, so it's a Napa Valley take on the classic British gastropub, I should say.
Okay.
And our menu is available online. We have a great chef. His name is Joseph Humphrey. He's had Michelin stars over the years, but he's also just a really phenomenal talent in the kitchen and a very good person, so he's very nice to talk to. And we opened that on June 5th.
I love the menu. Love the menu.
Do you? Yeah, what's your favorite?
I'll tell you what, I will pull the... Oh, okay, hold on a sec here. The one thing that I would really like to try is the squab and lobster salad with smoked almonds, cauliflower, and baby mustard. But I just like the way things are worded also. Proper English chips. Popover is freshly baked every half hour. Anyway, we have to go to a break. When we come back, let's pick that up here, and we'll tie in with the wines.
Okay.
We're going to continue with Stacy and Edward Williams of Caradine Estate in Napa Valley.
Hello, this is Valentin Humer. I'm coming live from Napa Valley, and we are the makers of Salute Sante grapeseed oil. We are making now 10 varietal grapeseed oils in the Napa Valley here, and we're making freshly ground grapeseed flour. It's all available at grapeseedoil.com. It's all locally made. It's sustainable, it's eco-friendly, and we are a certified green company. So again, this is Salute Sante grapeseed oils and grapeseed flour, available at grapeseedoil.com.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine, on the web at iWineRadio.com. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain. Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Okay, we're learning about really the life and times of the Williamses, who have opened up this new estate in Napa Valley called Caradine. And I didn't tell you that the word Caradine, C-A-I-R-D-E-A-N, is Scottish Gaelic for friends, which reflects their personal belief that wine is meant to be shared with those held close to your heart. And they have... It's so smart. They have all this food going on with the wines as well. And, okay, so let me go back to, The Farmer and the Fox. And you have these dessert wines, which are just to die for. Like, how does the Bailey Hazen Blue taste with your dessert Zinfandel?
The Bailey Hazen Blue, the blue cheese?
Yeah.
You know, I actually haven't tried those two together.
Oh, I bet.
And I eat there almost every night, so now I'm going to have to do it tonight.
Okay, how about...
I could see them pairing very well.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Zinfandel dessert wine is very dark, deep, rich, with lots of berry fruits to it. I think that would go very well. And there's still some acid in that wine,
yeah.
So I think it would cut through that blue cheese very, very well.
Right. The chef takes the Zinfandel dessert wine that we made, and he stews or poaches the cherries. For the chocolate and cherry tart in that wine.
Oh, wow.
So usually when I think about pairing the wine with something, I recommend that pairing. So I hadn't thought of the blue cheese pairing.
Mm. Lamb tartare with fried shallots, mint, and curry brioche. What wine of Cardine would you recommend with that?
I would say the Malbec, because the lamb tartare is it's very smooth. It's not like a meaty. It's not very meaty.
It's very fresh,
and so I think the Malbec would pair very, very well with that personally.
Mm-hmm. And one of our tasting room staff, his favorite pairing with that is Petite Sirah. So it's our Petite Sirah is a little more fruity than most. So the Malbec is a little fruity, but earthy at the same time.
I'm absolutely salivating just looking at your menu here. There's just so much cured salmon with beer bread, spring onions, and herbs.
It's house cured salmon, and it's also house made beer bread too. So we don't. They're the things that we make all in house on that.
Oh my God! How does that go with like your Pinot Grigio?
I don't think I've paired that with the Pinot Grigio, but I could.
We had the Haley Margaret on tap for a little while.
Okay.
And the Haley Margaret, I think, would pair better with it personally.
Okay. Do you have any, let me see, like, what are your ideas on the smoked duck wings with blue cheese and celery appetizer?
That's phenomenal.
I bet.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we get frequently as our appetizer when we're there. For the wine pairing for that, That's usually a beer thing that I have with that. So I'm trying to think what would be a good wine that would go with that. That's a
Have you ever paired your rosé, your Napa Valley rosé?
Yeah, actually, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah,
I bet the rosé would go just fine. Because they're not barbecue, but they're a little spicy, but a little tangy, and a lot of flavor to them.
Perhaps
so you wouldn't want to overpower it with a red or anything.
Yeah, perhaps the Leannin would go as well, because the sweetness of the Leannin would probably pair well with a little bit of spice.
I like her idea. The rosé.
Yeah, that's pretty good,
Oh, now tell people about the Leannin, because that's so unique.
So the Leannin is a rested fermentation wine, originally set out to make for those who don't really drink dry wines, my mother being one of them. The grapes come from the Sassoon Valley, and we get the grapes in, we press them, we start the fermentation off, and we taste it every day to see where it's going. And when we get it to the level where we want it to be in the bottle, we have to halt the fermentation. So that means filtering it many, many times to get to sterile, chilling it down, and sulfuring it to protect it from re-entering fermentation.
Where is Sassoon Valley?
Sassoon Valley is south east of Napa Valley.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I mean, you're in Napa Valley. Of course, everybody is going to think of things like Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Correct. And yeah, we make most of the traditional Napa Valley wines, but I really wanted to make sure we could have a place, you know, being friends, that we had a wine for everyone. And I know people's tastes differ. I wanted to make sure that anyone who walks through that door, I can find them a wine that they're going to be happy with.
I thank you humbly from the bottom of my heart for making an un-oaked Chardonnay.
Well, it's interesting. You could probably thank my associate winemaker, Cody, for that one.
Because nobody does that.
I was making the un-oaked to blend back into the oaked one, and he fell so much in love with it that I agreed to bottle it on its own.
And a Russian River Valley Chardonnay, and you have a Carneros Pinot Noir. Makes sense. You're near the south end of the valley, right?
We're actually not.
Where are you?
Just north of the town of St. Helena.
You were in Napa. Okay.
Well, the place we're making the wine currently, while our current winery facility is being built, is in Napa. Yes.
Okay. Okay, now you do have a serious wine club. Talk to us about the wine club.
We have a couple options. You know, we have a wine club that's available for those people who enjoy only reds. We have a wine club that's available for those who enjoy only whites. And then we have kind of like Stacia's selection. Every couple of months, an email will get sent out to club members to find out those wines that Stacia's kind of hoping that people will be able to try and enjoy. But it's funny, one of our wine club, our wine tasting room folks, really wanted to do something a little more personable, so we've actually kind of dubbed it the Patrick Wine Club in-house. And it's a case purchase, so you buy a case, and then you're invited to all the club events, all the activities that happen at the estate, and all the catered happenings that will be happening in our courtyard. And so it's a one-case commitment for that.
Per year,
yeah. Okay. And, you know, pick up at the estate. So
And basically pick up whatever wines you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what makes it so unique. Most wine clubs, you know, you say, okay, these are the wines. They're part of the shipment. But this club just allows you to select from whatever wines we have available for purchase in the tasting room.
So is the Butterscotch Bakery open yet or not yet?
No, not yet. We're actually gearing up to open it. We placed some ads for staff. That is probably the most difficult part of this project is finding the people to help you. Being a valley, it's very small, and being up valley, people have to travel a long ways if they're not local.
Okay, makes sense. And now, last question. I'm dying of curiosity about this. The idea behind the, is it Rose Gale Mercantile?
Yes.
What is that about?
That's a name that I kind of came up with, and Rosegall is Scottish Gaelic for joy.
Okay.
And so all the things that are in there are the one-of-a-kind, unique, hard-to-find items. You know, multiple price points. So it's not like it's just always high-end, but it's things you wouldn't find anyplace else.
And are they Scottish-themed?
Some of them are. We've purchased some items from the oldest woolen mill in Scotland, Johnston's of Elgin, to carry. And there will be minor, you know, little things, but we're really trying to create a place, a winery destination in Napa Valley. So you can come, you can spend an hour, you can come and spend the day, you can taste wine, you can shop, you can spend time in our courtyard, you can go to dinner at the restaurant, you can picnic in our picnic grounds, you can take a tour of the winery and cave, give someone a unique winery experience.
Stacia and Edwin Williams of Cairdean Estate, Cairdean Estate.com. We thank you so very much for your time this week on Wine and Dine.
Thank you.
You're listening to Wine and Dine, and we thank you so very much for doing so.
You're listening to iWine Radio.